What's up, everybody? Anthony Frieda here. Welcome back to Madam Biz. All right, today on the show, we got Ben and Jess. Ben is from a band called Man Dancing and from a band called Subtitles. And Jess has her solo project called Sun Cycles that actually just had a release very recently this month in September. We talk a lot about that, the making of it, and what inspired her. And we talk a lot about Ben's experience playing in Man Dancing and Subtitles. They both have a lot of stuff brewing creatively and musically. Both their own individual projects and together too. We talk a lot about that also. This was a great conversation. It was great to have them in person, and there's also a little bit of music performance. You guys are going to enjoy this one. And one last thing, I'm doing drum tracks and I'm teaching virtual drum lessons online. Please email badumbiz@gmail.com if interested. Enjoy the episode. Badumbiz. What's up, everybody?
Hello.
Hey. Hey, you hear them? The guests are here, and they're in studio with me. I'm looking at them in the eyes right now. This is very exciting. They're probably the second group of guests that I've had since this whole COVID thing. So I have, to my left, I have Ben Petty from Subtitles and Man Dancing.
Hello.
And I have Jessica from Sun Cycles Music. She just had her EP or her album debut very recently, so we're going to actually listen to a little bit of that later. So welcome, Jess.
Hi, everyone.
All right. So Ben and I know each other because we played in a band together years ago called Float the Witch.
Yeah.
Man, it's almost a decade ago.
Almost a decade ago. I know.
2011, crazy. Man.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Tell me about it. Early 2020 was a different world.
That's right.
But everybody knows that.
Everybody.
That's not a revelation.
Everybody knows that. Ben plays guitar, but you also play drums in your band's Subtitles.
I do.
So he's a multi-instrumentalist for sure. He sings too. I mean, he's a talented dude.
Thanks. Okay. Jack of all trades, master of none.
That's
he's a master of them all. I would go
master of them all. Master of the universe.
I pay her to say nice things about me in public.
The reason why the two of you are here together is because you're a couple.
We are.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. I think the dynamic of like, you know, you want to be, you know, you have this creative pursuit. You're passionate about creating music, your own music, and you both share that. And I mean, I've never had that connection in a relationship. I don't know how that works. I mean, if you want, you could talk about it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we've been getting into this conversation with people lately, we explain it as, you know, we've been dating for less than a year, right?
I just waited it out to see if you remembered.
Yeah. Officially, technically, less than a year. And, you know, obviously we're both musicians, we're songwriters. I mean, I could barely call myself a songwriter, but, you know, I've written a couple songs. Anyway, we sort of had to let the collaborative element sort of happen organically. You know, it wasn't like, hey, you're a girl, I'm a boy. You know, we're special friends, we're musicians, let's start a band, you know?
Yeah.
And in my experience, dating musicians, it's like it can go south when you try to work together. So there's always that, you know, you're treading on the fine line of connecting your creative processes. And I think the cool thing about Ben and I is that we have different musical interests. Like, our projects are very different, but there's this crossover in the way that we go throughout our creative process. So I think where the process aligns, therein allows us to sort of like work together on music and talk about it and connect. And that's been kind of a neat, almost rare thing to find.
That's cool, because, like, I mean, during the, you know, the process of you recording and getting your album mixed and all that, I'm sure, I mean, well, you were definitely a part of it.
I was right there,
so
passenger seat, literally in the car listening to mixes, you know, working on mix notes, listening to the masters, doing mastering notes, etc.
That's so cool.
And also to piggyback off of what Jess was saying, and also tying back into what I was saying about letting it happen organically, is, you know, we would be in the car listening to music together a lot, and we sort of found like what our common interests were, you know, bands that we both like, and we'd kind of make comments just like, oh, I would love to do something that kind of sounds like this, but like not in regards of like, I would love to do something with you that sounds like this, just kind of, you know, off the cuff, like it would be cool to maybe one day do something that sounds like this, whatever. And then, you know, we had those types of conversations enough times that I guess we probably both had like a little sort of mental list of like maybe 5 or 10 bands that there, where there was enough crossover that we would both like to do something that sounds like that, that once we started eventually working on music, it was like very easy to just slide right into it without having to, you know, kind of get our footing, which, you know, it's funny because like our band Float the Witch was one of those bands that, at least for me, I think we sort of had a little bit of a lack of direction. And totally. I think ultimately, I mean, sorry to sugarcoat it. We totally had a complete and utter lack of direction. And I think at first it was okay. I mean, and at first it was kind of like, yeah, that's our thing. Like, we don't really have a style. Like, we play all these different styles. But then, you know, you fast forward a year, year and a half down the line, it's like people are like, no, but like, I really want to take it in this direction. And someone else is like, no, I really want to take it in this direction. And it's like, well, you're too deep in it at that point.
One of our problems that we would say, and it's, I never thought of it as a problem, but I understand years later now why it was a problem, which was we just didn't stick to a sound.
Right.
Like, we had how many songs that were just so different. Mm-hmm. Some of them were electronically influenced. That's probably from me, and hip-hop influenced. Mm-hmm. But then there were some, like, hardcore-sounding songs,
really hard stuff, yeah.
Some, like, almost prog-sounding songs.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and then, like, there was, I think, Carmi, shout-out to Carmi and Brian. Mm-hmm. Carmi had songs that were in different languages, so which is so cool, actually. Yeah. We tried to actually emulate the music of those languages a little bit.
A little bit.
It kind of came, you know. But, yeah, you're right. With a lack of direction and, like, you know, like, what's that? Mixed berry. You know, it's just, what does that mean? Mixed berry.
Right. It was just of sorts.
Yeah. It was just flavors all
like
over the place.
It's blue Gatorade. Yeah. It's like, it was just blue flavor. Like, you don't know what the flavor is.
That's right. That's right. We would go to shows. I mean, good crowd always. Always a good crowd. Mm-hmm. Loyal crowd, actually. Loyal, small little fan base there. And I think that they liked that we had a range of stuff. But as far as converting, getting new, you know, fans, they're like, yeah, you guys are good, but I don't get it.
I like that one song, but why is that the only song that sounds like that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I see that you have it pulled up.
Just in case, in case, I have all these listening examples. I definitely want to get into the new Sun Cycles debut. So
yeah.
Now, how much of that did you work with a producer? Do you produce yourself? Did the both of you produce together right next to each other on a laptop? Like, what was that process like?
On Sun Cycles, it's pretty much 100% me. I did work with a producer on this latest EP, but I kind of make it a habit to really flesh out my demos fully. I like to produce in that way. So I would definitely consider myself one of the main producers on all of the music that's released under the project name Sun Cycles. So I'll be in on my laptop. I got, you know, my 50 tracks running, all my ideas going. And then really the producer session is where I take those initial ideas and just highlight them, expand them, you know, create better sounds with somebody who has fresh ears. So shout out to my friend Joel Martin. He is actually from the Midwest, where I'm from originally, but recently moved out to Philadelphia, and I was traveling out to the East Coast from the Midwest to record with him in Philadelphia, and then ended up moving out here. So it's kind of weird. We're both like Midwest transplants, and we just sort of, I think we spent about maybe 8 days together on these four new songs. So it was really just like fast, immersive, sort of collaborative mindset together, just kind of going in there, grabbing a bunch of keyboard samples, trying things out, and then that's kind of where the EP came from.
That's really cool. I mean, first of all, I really respect that you were just like, these are the sounds I want.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up my DAW here. What did you use? GarageBand, Logic, Pro Tools?
I just use GarageBand. I mean, lot of it starts like voice memo to GarageBand to just like a small MIDI keyboard that I sort of like hash out the sounds on.
That's exciting to know that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because you have a legitimate mark of music to your name now.
Yeah.
I heard some of it. It's great.
Thank you.
And you did it on something that was free.
Oh, yeah. Well, she makes the demos on GarageBand.
Yeah, so demos on GarageBand, but...
But what I mean, though, yeah. That alone is what I'm saying. Oh, you got started. You got your content on there.
Yeah.
And that's, like, very empowering to hear that. If you're somebody out there who wants to make music, you have ideas, mm-hmm. how the fuck do I get... I can't play an instrument. Yeah. This is a great example of this.
Yeah. And I
very cool.
I started, like, in my former project, I was playing electric guitar, doing more of, like, the raw sounds and... you know, real drums and that kind of a thing. So with Sun Cycles, I really wanted to experiment with the synth, keyboard, MIDI world. You know, what sounds are out there? What can I play with? And it's just kind of cool to see the form that it took on, just using, like you said, those free things in GarageBand, testing things out, getting your ideas out. I think especially, too, like being a female and going into the studio, it's like if you don't sort of hash your ideas out ahead of time, it's very easy for them to get trampled over. So I just started saying, you know what? I'm going to go into these sessions, have everything laid out ahead of time so that my voice is heard when I get in the studio.
Are you, now, do you, in your, I mean, I'm just going to assume from your experience, you've had mostly, when you've had a studio recording experience, producing experience, it's mostly with males.
Yeah, I would say like 98% of the time. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Of course.
I love working with all types of people, but I think it's just, having that clear voice before you go in, just to make sure that your stamp is on it, just as an artist, is important.
You know, no, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of, look, I mean, I know what you're talking about, just hanging out with when you have a group of guys and there's like one woman just there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I've witnessed it. They're just sitting there, and they're not engaged. They're not engaged. They're not invited into the conversation because the conversation is about something very male-driven.
Right.
Or just within those three guys or those four guys, they're into that shit, and there's no invitation into that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think studio experiences could be similar to that. Mm-hmm. You know, you kind of get – it becomes a hang. That's what it is. There's a fucking couch usually in mix
usually coffee
room.
And cats and couches.
That's right.
The three C's.
So if you're just hanging out, you go from like sitting at a diner hanging out to like now you're in a creative space. Yeah, it totally happens, you know, and it's good that you figured that out and you had a strategy to deal with that.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in Los Angeles, and I think just being in that environment, LA is great, and I don't mean to dog on it, but there is a lot of that, you know, proving yourself in general, but a lot of people hustling out there, everybody's a songwriter, and I think what I took from that experience was I got to know my stuff just like everyone else. Mm. I consider myself a songwriter. And when I come into a studio, I want to be prepared. I want to have my voice ready and articulated. And I think that that really made the recording process fun with this EP. And Joel, the guy that I worked with, is the sweetest guy. Ben's met him. Like, he's a total sweetheart, but he's also just like a genius and can kind of go into left field and sort of say, let's just go down the rabbit hole. Let's just try this out. And I like that about him. He's very experimental. So it was great. And I'm excited to just see it out in the world, so to speak, now. It's
nice.
Like very surreal feeling.
Yeah. I mean, and do you have like a music video?
Yeah. Too? So put out a music video. Gosh, I don't even remember when that was. Within the last month.
A couple months ago.
Yeah. Anyone else like not know what day it is during this whole COVID experience?
Constantly.
But if you just go to YouTube and you type in Sun Cycles Music, Make Believe, something like that, some of those keywords, it'll pop up. And it's me dancing in a very tripped out sort of a world, just to kind of roll with the whole EP, which is about the lines between make believe and reality. And so in the video, you're kind of being pulled between the imaginary world and the real world. And am I awake? Am I sleeping? What's going on? So
I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Now, the both of you mentioned about working together on material content.
Yeah, I was going to come back to that.
Yeah, I'm interested in that, too. Like,
cool.
Surprise.
Well, also, we can use this imaginary segue to playing a Sun Cycles song. I'm gonna go find demoing on GarageBand again in my little basement home studio. It's very modest, but it gets the job done.
I've been there.
Yes, many times. Mm. Many times. You got to come back soon.
Very soon. I'll be there.
Cool. So we're up to about, I think, 7 songs now that we've demoed out. And we started from scratch in, I think, the beginning of July.
Like, yeah.
Actually,
it was, I think it was even, like, after the middle of July.
Oh, it was like,
early, I think it was later July.
Like, later in July. Yeah, like right so we started left. Writing songs and working together, like, let's say, middle of July. And now we're just in the middle of September, and we already have, like, 7 or so songs written and demoed out. Like, to the point, like, where we're both, like, very happy with it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we definitely move quick. I mean, granted, we've both been unemployed this entire time, you know, as a result of the thing. We've really just been making the most of it. We've been fortunate to be people that didn't have run into any issues collecting the government monies.
Like me.
Yeah. You were running into problems. Oh shit.
You have no idea. You have no idea.
No.
The hassle.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
But we don't have to get into that,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I'm still surviving. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. You're doing great, man.
This it's just sweet setup.
Difficult.
Yeah.
It's stressful, but it's,
yeah,
it's fine. It's like a tightrope a little bit, but we're good.
Yeah.
We're fine.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you got this nice basement studio doing online lessons. So it's awesome. But I am sorry to hear that nonetheless.
Oh, it's cool, man.
But I recognize that we are fortunate for being in that position, that we didn't have any, at least not too much trouble, like getting the unemployment to kick in and everything. So
I'm happy to hear that, by the way. Truly.
Yeah.
The first people I thought of, selfishly, were musicians.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Gig people, you know?
Yeah.
I know so many people had so many gigs lined up for the summer.
Yeah.
And that was their income
tours
for the summer.
And everything.
And just, oh, what's that?
Nope.
Squashed, like, you know?
Forget about it. Yep.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. So you have seven to eight songs.
So we have 7 or 8 songs that are fully written and demoed out. So we figured that working at the same rate that we're at, minus we're going to Arkansas for a week in a week for our mutual friend's wedding.
Cool.
So we're going to be taking off a week from that. But we're going to use that week to just listen to the demos in the car and, you know, critically listen and analyze. But we figure at the rate that we're going, we should be able to easily do like another 2 or 3 before we hit the studio, so to speak, in late October. And so we're going to 2 different places. We're going to be tracking my stuff. So I'm doing like all the hardware instruments, you know, the drums, bass, guitars.
Mr. Dave Grohl over here.
Exactly. master of none, though. Important to remember. Important to remember.
Debatable.
So, yeah, we're going down to my friend Doug's studio in Cherry Hill. It's called AGL Studios. I've been going there for the last couple of years or however long they've been doing it, and he's awesome. So I'm going to be tracking those instruments down at AGL, and then we're going to take a couple weeks off, and then we're going back to her friend Joel's studio.
So we're going back to Joel's studio to do kind of my end of things, which is more of like synth, atmospheric, overall vibe, sort of almost orchestral, but like MIDI version orchestral stuff. Vocals, just kind of, like I said, take it into left field.
Yeah.
How weird can we get with this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so like it's been really cool. Like the project that, you know, we're describing right now, kind of like Ben was saying earlier, it feels like it sort of came out of nowhere at a random time, but really it naturally has been building to this point. And I think that there's this cool Venn diagram of sounds is what I'll call it. So Ben being more, I would say, just immersed and familiar with some of the like rock music, music from the 90s, just like really grunge heavy type instruments, and me being more on the pop synth, also still loving the rock music as well. And Ben still loves, you know, like synth and electronic and all that. But sort of the crossover in between the two is where the project is falling. And that's just been nice to see that it's working, because we've talked about blending our sounds together, and you can talk about that in theory, and then you can try it out, and it can be a total disaster. So even with the first song that we put together, it was like, let's not put expectations on this. Let's just like see what happens for funs.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And it just like we both, you know, did our thing on this track, and then went back and listened to it in the car, and we just kept playing it over and over, and it was like, okay, there's something here.
Yeah.
So,
I like how you use the word natural, because as soon as you said driving to a location. I'm sure it's hours, right? Mm-hmm. And we're just going to be listening in the car to those demos,
yeah,
and just analyzing it.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about is essentially sitting with the material away from that, like, tinkering with it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it in, right, objectively, which is, you need to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But you're doing it together, which is cool.
Yeah.
And you're making, like, a cool thing of it where it's like a little road trip. I mean, and it sounded like it wasn't a thing of, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit in a car for... No, it was a natural thing. Yeah. Like, hey, you know what? We have time.
Got the time.
Might as well.
Let's do it then.
Yeah.
It sounds... you used the word natural, and this definitely sounds like a naturally formed and evolving project. I'm actually, like, stoked to hear.
Yeah. I think I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I think that's, like, part of why we're both, like, really excited about it, because it tends to not really go that way, I'm sure, as we all mm-hmm. know. You end up forcing it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's funny. I would love to play for you, Anthony, some of the demos that we're working on, but Jess is, she's a little bit protective.
I'm very protective with the creative process.
That's totally okay.
Yeah.
I totally understand. Yeah. I really do. I really understand, and I respect that, but it's like, but also, like, I want you to hear it.
I think there's the challenge, I'm sure any songwriter out there will understand this, but of just, it's like, you want that like, you want people to come in and say what they think and hear it,
mm-hmm.
but you're also trying to, like, I was mentioning earlier, like, have your voice. And so for me, it's like making sure that, okay, my voice has been established. Now this is ready to, like, be broken down, be criticized, be, you know, taken to that degree. But it's like, I'm very protective, like, until it reaches that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only reason that I get that way.
Hey, it makes total sense. I get it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I want to be seen. I want to be seen for me, or
right,
I want it to be seen for what, how I see it,
yeah,
or hear it. So I get it. I completely get it. I would be the most objective, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd probably be, like, very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
But...
Well, when the time is right.
When the time is
we
right.
We would love to do
yeah.
that.
Please.
Yeah.
I would love to hear it.
You're definitely, like...
We'll put
one
you
of the
tops.
Top,
yeah.
Yeah. Top list of people that I would want to be among the first to hear it. You would 100% be on that list. And I'm not just saying that. I would have said that behind closed doors. If you were not sitting directly in front of me right now, I would say that, I would literally say it. I want you to hear it. I want you to be one of the first people to hear it.
Dude, well, I mean, I always love, there's this thing that's happened in we've watched it happen within the last 20 years in music, which is, it goes from instruments to everything's produced,
mm-hmm.
pretty much samples and stuff. You watch it happen. And it happens in an ugly way where we see, oh, well, that means the top 10 artists, like, maybe one of them plays an instrument
mm-hmm. right.
and is featured playing an instrument in mm-hmm. a music video or whatever. And, you know, I think that musicians, it forces musicians to not get caught thinking only in their instrument. Like me as a drummer, if I only think about drums mm-hmm. from this seat
mm-hmm.
and these four drums and these cymbals, I'm going to be very limited, and not as far as, like, my playing ability, but my ideas musically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where producers, you know, have really challenged instrumentalists in, like, a really good way. It was ugly to do it because I think a lot of instrumentalists got a lot of work taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's an industry. Makes sense. But you got to change, and you got to take the challenge on. And so that's how I see. It's kind of a beautiful thing because you're a great instrumentalist,
oh,
right? So, and you have great ideas and know how to get them out digitally,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to see the welding. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want to hear that weld of those two very passionate powers coming together. I'm very excited to hear it, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds cool.
Yeah.
You know, everyone likes to think when they're working on their new stuff, they're like, I can't think of anyone that's ever done this before. You know, like, I can't think of any bands that sound like this. Like, it's like, I'm, like, also trying to be aware that everybody thinks that all the time. But also, like, I can't think of many things that I've heard before that sound like this.
That's because I think that, here's what that translates to me is, I love it so much, and it's so unique to me,
yeah.
or it's so unique to us, you guys.
Yeah,
and that's what you mean, mm-hmm. and you're not wrong.
Right.
Still, that sentence still makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. It's the two of you. That's fucking cool. I'm stoked. I'm actually really stoked. I can't wait to hear a little bit of it. So
yeah.
I'm not pressing you for it though.
periodically, I'll be like, "So Jess, are we still not playing this? We're not. Okay. That's fine.
So you demoed in your basement.
Yeah. We've just been working in the basement studio.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but your basement studio, you are actually like, maybe a couple songs are like actually recorded from your basement studio.
Oh, like things that are like out in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man Dancing, couple songs, right?
Yeah, I think probably the most notable thing that's out there in the world that was recorded in my house is the first Man Dancing record, Everyone Else.
It's a cool record.
Thank you. We we were riding high from that for quite a long time. We got a number of opportunities just based off of that alone. So it's definitely been huge for us. I mean, in the grand scheme, it's still small, but for us, it's been huge. I am excited to report, however, that we are on the cusp of releasing essentially our follow-up. I mean, Man Dancing put out an EP in summer of 2018. It was more of like a little stopgap. It was like a 4-song thing. I mean, it's great. Proud of it.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, Everyone Else, the first Man Dancing album came out in like I think it was like early 2016.
I remember. Yeah.
So that's almost 5 years ago.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
And it had a cool character to it, because it did sound garagey.
Yeah, I think exactly.
But it had a great personality to it.
Yeah.
It like, that's hard. See, whoever thinks things have to be, you have to get the perfect signal. Mm. The mic has to be placed the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going, you should be going through a look, if there's that saying, shit in, shit out. Meaning whatever's coming through this mic, if it's shit, it's going to come shit the other way. It doesn't matter what compressor goes through.
Right.
You guys captured magic.
Mm. Cool.
You know, and it has a vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And then whoever mixed it and mastered it did a really good job to highlight that.
That's also essential too, because I engineered it as a new, I can't even call myself an engineer, but I was getting into engineering for a little while back when the computer, back when there was a functioning computer in the basement, you know.
Gotcha.
I was getting into Pro Tools and engineering and stuff. And that was like really among my first projects, was pretty much starting to record that Man Dancing record. And it was just like, that's the sound of, you know, me figuring out how to mic things and how to use Pro Tools. It's the sound of, you know, Steve getting in the studio and like recording shout out to Steve recording like his stuff basically for the first time ever. Like he was in a band some years ago and they recorded some things, but I know he's not very proud of it. So this was the sound of him like coming into his own, you know, and me attempting to capture that. And you know, it was pretty much just me and him for the most part that did the whole record together in the basement. Also shout out to Marie Brizard, licorice flavored liquor company or whatever. It's kind of like a Sambuca kind of thing. It's terrible. It's awful.
Shout out.
and Tom, also our drummer and
Tom,
one of our best friends, also came in. He played on 2 songs on the record, but we didn't
good drummer.
Know him at the time. Amazing drummer.
Fucking really good drummer.
One of the best I've ever known other than Anthony Frieda.
I got to get him on here because he's I only followed him, and I saw him. I met him for the first time at your Halloween party, which is where Jess and I met the first time too.
Yes.
Wait, you and Tom met for the first time like less than a year ago?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And like, you know, but I know him through you, and you were like, dude, check this guy out. He's playing drums for us.
Yeah.
Great drummer. Watch his videos all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it would be great to get him.
Hell yeah. You should definitely do that. So he moved into my house. We're roommates now. So
awesome.
I'll talk to him about that tonight.
So
anyway,
cool.
I was like pontificating. I should try to keep it interesting. The point
this
is...
This is all interesting.
Okay.
Trust me.
The point is, so I engineered it kind of not really knowing what I was doing. So the sound of the Man Dancing Everyone Else LP is pretty much me trying to figure it out. And then Mark Busey, who mixed it, being like, here's how we're going to save this a little bit. And that's, I think, where it got a lot of its character from.
Shout out to Mark.
Amateur engineer, you know, great mixing. And then it was mastered by our friend Adam, who masters all. He actually mastered Jess's EP.
Awesome.
The one that just came out.
So cool.
And he also produced and mixed the Man Dancing LP that we finished tracking fairly recently and will be coming out, I don't want to say exactly when, but soon. And that I can play for you. Not live on the air, but I will personally play that for you. Or I could just send you a link and you can listen to it whenever you want.
Oh, like right now, play it.
Or I mean, we could listen to it right now, like just if we want to, but
I want whatever you're inspired to do.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to hear it right now? We can't like put it on the podcast, but I can also play it for you. I'll send you the SoundCloud
great,
link.
Dude.
Yeah, I'll just send
Ben's
you
got his right guitar. Or you're gonna?
I mean, like, I'll send you. I mean, like, I'll send you like a SoundCloud link to the album.
Oh, and
if you
want
to listen to it, yeah, like if you want to listen to it now, and we can like edit that out, or you could just listen to it later if you.
I'll listen to it later for sure because I want to keep this conversation is really flowing. Actually,
okay, cool.
Yeah, that would be cool to hear. I mean, I think what you just said too, which is, you know, you both had the person who mastered each other's projects. Like you're using the same guy. Clearly, the guy is. Adam, you said, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Adam.
Yep.
Clearly, he's good at what he does, and he has a good effect on, you know, he's sought after. And this is what's cool. You have this network of creatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you've built this.
Mm-hmm.
You have people to go to. I mean, like, that's not a lot of people have that who are, like, trying to be in bands or create music or something like that. That's so important.
It's everything. And that's one of the things that was a key thing that's sort of missing when we were doing our Float the Witch band 10 or so years ago. We didn't have that network. We were just flying free trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's nice to have that for sure. Yeah.
Have you considered, like, having a, like, record label? I'm doing quotes, air quotes.
Oh, like for us?
I mean,
for that network.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like starting a label.
Yeah, like a...
Right, right, you know, like a collective or something.
Yeah.
So, like, my story is a little bit interesting with that, because, like, I come from Nebraska, so I'm from, like, the Saddle Creek Records, like, part of the country. So it's like I have, like, friends there, and then I also have friends in Kansas City, and then I spent time in Los Angeles. So I feel like I've built a decent network, and then coming out here and sort of being merged in with Ben and his roommates and like that whole music scene. I actually mentioned to Ben a while ago, like, it would be great someday, I don't know if it'd be through a label or through management, but to help, you know, future artists coming up just with the contacts and with the experience of just touring, being in the studio, you know, how to like put things out digitally, how to garner some kind of support for what you're doing and your music. I think it'd be cool to give back in that way at some point in my career. I don't know, like, if I personally feel there yet, but I think, like, as time goes on and as those connections just deepen and, like, we're able to release more music and feel a little more established, personally, I could see myself going in that direction at some point. I really enjoy the business side of music, like, parts to even the creative side of it. And I think that, you know, to do something like a record label or to manage groups or just that sort of a thing, like, you have to sort of have an equal parts love for that sort of business, the grind of being on your computer, that kind of a thing, as well. So potentially down the road is what I would say on my end. That's, I don't know how Ben feels about it, but
you guys clearly have like a, you know, and I watch, like, your interaction with Steve is funny as fuck. You guys are hilarious.
Thanks.
And he's a character.
Yeah. More on that later.
Yeah, man. But like that those relationships, mm-hmm. those kind of connections, you know, like, you're just friends hanging out, but you know, you can make some like legitimately good sounding creations, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, yeah. that's really exciting.
Yeah.
To see from the outside. It's very cool.
Before I actually like kind of move on to that next up, because I do want to say something about what you just said in regards to like Steve and those connections and everything, but like back to the record label idea thing. I think, you know, right now, like with the industry, multiple industries being completely shattered asunder mm-hmm. currently, I think I would be hesitant to attempt any sort of business power play at this time until I just wait and see like what the industry is, if it's going
That's
to,
true.
You know, just spring back and be exactly the same as it was, or like how it's going to rebuild itself, like under this new world, or like what's going to happen. Like, you know, I wouldn't start a record label, you know, or collective or quote unquote record label, whatever you want to call it.
Although I will say, I think that more than ever, artist collectives are going to be important. Mm. And I think that people leaning into their friends and those already established scenes that they're in is going to be important as we navigate this very uncertain time of, like, you know, are we going to play normal shows again for the next year or 2 years? Or when is it going to be quote unquote normal or anything or just something different? That I think that the smaller pockets and collectives are what's going to keep people going. There's a lot of, I've already seen a lot of people sort of, dropping out in a sense, because it's like, well, I'm not playing shows, I'm not, you know, so I'm just going to kind of move on or do something different or put that away for a while. And I think that Where it's remained lively is the pockets where artists are able to lean into other people, whether that's business connections within the music industry or other people that just play instruments and they get together and jam. I think it will sort of be what sustains. So I do think the collective thing is important.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, moving forward.
Yeah, totally, totally. I agree with that 100% for sure.
Where are you going to go next, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it kind of totally moves. I was going to, like, start talking about, like, the videos and the video
production. Sure, wherever you guys want to go. Yeah, I mean, we're chilling.
Just go there.
We're hanging out.
All right. Yeah, so, me and Steve and Jess, we all share a passion for acting, filmmaking, and comedy and things of that nature. I mean, me and Steve share a passion for comedy. I mean, I know you enjoy comedy. I wouldn't know if you share a passion for comedy, but
I do have a silly side to me. It's very hard to get to it when I am like first meeting someone, but living essentially with Ben and Steve, I think they've both seen it.
Yeah. I mean, she's a complete character. It's like it's night and day. You would never know that like someone so beautiful and poised is so utterly ridiculous. I always encourage her to let it out a little bit more in front of newer people, but you know, we'll get there eventually and that's fine. But so me and Steve often talk about doing videos and comedy and stuff like as a completely separate entity from Man Dancing. And we cobbled together some random videos and we'll just fire them out on Instagram or whatever. Thank you.
Hysterical.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're going to soon be collaborating with some of our friends from the city who they have a production company called Jamps and Films that we worked with on one of the music videos that we just shot recently for the upcoming Man Dancing record. But so they come from the New York City comedy background,
oh, nice.
New York City comedy circuit. So we had such a great time working with them on this music video that we were like, hey, like there's this kind of idea that we've been tossing around for a comedy video. We explained it to them. They were like, would you want to like get down on this? And they were like, yo, like you write up a little outline for us. Like we'll come up with a script and like, we'll shoot it. Like we're fucking doing this.
And
we
were nice.
Like, yo, word up. So we've been like fleshing out this concept to do a comedy video. And then also last night, so our roommate and good friend Pete, who plays in, I know there's like so many like names, bands, like shout out.
But shout them out, man.
Our friend and roommate Pete, who plays in a band called Palomino, they put out an awesome single earlier this summer called Don't Lie to Your Friends, which maybe we can, 3, 2, 1, play that song. you know, if we want to.
You should keep the 3, 2, 1 in there,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. That's
definitely.
That's right.
so we shot a music video last night for that song, and me, Jess, and Steve all got to just like cut loose and just do pure acting. Like, we're not, you know, it's not our band, it's not our video, like we were just there to just like be in the video, and like, and we just had like the best time. Like it was just great. The best.
Yeah. That's so good.
And I'll show you a little clip. Yeah. like
that. Yeah,
it was very terrifying, I would say. Yeah, like in a good way, in a comedic way, but we all got to play these really scary sort of kind of, yeah, just insane characters, really.
Yeah, demented, and like not mobsters per se, but like kind of seedy criminal underbelly types.
Yeah.
But with like a sort of Lynchian, almost comedic twist.
Okay,
it's gonna be pretty fucking crazy.
And this is the music video to their song.
Yes.
Yeah, which is weird because, well, not weird, but it's great. Like the video starts off so dark.
Okay.
And then it just jumps to this totally different concept. Like, I don't want to give anything. Yeah. I don't know if we can give anything away.
Yeah.
But it's just like just a night and day video where it starts off as one thing and then it becomes something totally opposite. So
yeah,
it's so cool.
Very humorous in that way.
Really excited for that.
So, I mean, like you mentioning comedy and just basically what you're doing is having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just silly goose time. But you're making a piece of content and sharing that silly goose time,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I love that.
Nice.
All right. I'm a huge comedy fan.
I know.
I mean, I honestly think I want to hear, I want to see and hear a lot of that too from musicians in mm-hmm. general. That's why I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't even know really. I knew about your videos.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't know about like, oh, you guys are kind of really starting to pursue this thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, that is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole, we're entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
I think musicians original artists forget that shit. Mm. Like, you don't have to be this esoteric figure, mm-hmm. and what's the word?
Aloof
enigma of a fucking, oh my god,
right,
like, they're
right.
so mysterious.
It's like, hate to that break
shit
it to you,
doesn't translate anymore.
You're not Kurt Cobain, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like, so that's a new, that's like a different way of expressing who you are. I mean, really, by doing stuff like that, mm-hmm. and then you have your music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's good music, which it's going to be good, of course, because you guys are talented at what you do. Yeah, I mean, it's you've allowed people to hook on to another part of you as like, I'm going to do like a circle artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, truly, your artistry is just so multidimensional at that point, you know, so... Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, let's not forget, you know, the Beatles, often regarded as the greatest band of all time, probably justifiably so. Also, they had so many movies where they're acting like complete and utter silly heads.
That's right.
And it's like, you know, they're not taking themselves too seriously. Yeah. They're acting like goofballs in those movies. And
That's right.
Does not take away, you know, what's one iota from like anything else that they were doing artistically, because...
That's right.
It all just stands alone, and, you know, it's all quality, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, shout out to the Beatles.
shout out to the Beatles.
Maybe they'll tune in and hear this.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Mr. Paul or Mr. Ringo.
Yeah.
That's fucking exciting. That actually excites me a little bit more.
I'm so excited to be exciting you this way.
Nah, man. Because it was a gut punch, man, to witness the idea of nobody could play shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is just, I have to, you reminded me, literally reminded me of, hey, motherfucker, remember the reality, people can't play shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, it's true. And it's because I'm doing,
you don't want to go to a drive-in show?
I mean.
You don't want to sit in your car in a parking lot and see someone play a mile away?
I mean.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I'm not really all about that personally.
I haven't seen it. Like, yeah. I don't know what the quality is.
You're right. I shouldn't knock it till I try.
I mean, that's the thing. If it's all we got, then
yeah,
totally do it.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
You know what I mean? But you're right in the sense of you're not in the room.
Yeah.
There's something about when you're in that room mm-hmm. with that energy. It's intoxicating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like with shows and stuff, and even going back to like touring in my head, I think I'm way more of a fan of quality shows over quantity of show.
Of course.
Just in general. It's like I would rather play 5 shows the entire year, but those 5 shows are, you know, well thought out or really fun, or there's, you know, just people that actually are into the music. It's not someone just talking in front of you. So I think that makes us a little bit like, okay, you know, how do we go forward when I already feel that way about shows in general? But I think that it's just going to be interesting because I think that there's going to be that piece that's missing for a while, just sort of like that you're feeling the energy of the artist.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for me to feel like that's quality. It's like, well, I'd rather just wait until, you know, we can, you know, be singing the lyrics and be right in front of that person's face. But yeah, it's just interesting to see all the live streaming and the drive-in shows and kind of like what people are latching on to create that to some degree. I don't know what's going to sustain. Hopefully things can go back at some point, but yeah, the unknown.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the fact that, you know, Jess has been working on her EP, Man Dancing's been working on our record, both of us have been filming music videos, we've been doing, you know, photo shoots when it's okay to do photo shoots. We're obviously me and Jess are working on our project. So it's like, we're like engaged,
busy,
active, we're staying busy. We're doing music.
Busy.
Like I know this is kind of weird, but cause I hear musicians talking about like, oh man, I'm so bummed I haven't been able to play a show in 6 months. It's like, that actually hasn't been bothering me that much.
That's good.
I think it's probably just because I've been able to stay busy, being creative, working on stuff, recording, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it might speak to like your enjoyment of, you know, being in the studio. I think for musicians that, are more like, let's say they're just gigging a lot. Mm. I think it's more of a hard hit in that way.
That's
then
good
it's
point.
Like, well, what am I doing now that I'm not just like getting out on the road or playing shows? But I think if you're like, you know, what we've been doing, sort of being in your lair, being in the studio, still working on stuff, it keeps your mind creative and active in that way.
Yeah, of course. So I haven't been the burn. Yeah. I haven't been feeling the burn personally. And again, like I know, I recognize that like I'm, you know, I'm lucky to be in that position.
Yeah, but let's consider this though. The two of you clearly connect on like, tell me if this makes sense. I mean, have you both dated somebody that like being creative, having a creative pursuit as a possible career, like being a musician, that wasn't in there. That wasn't an option for them. Have you dated somebody like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So there's a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm.
But you two totally, it's like, well, that's what I'm going to that's what I'm going to do. Like when I wake up, that's what I want to do. Yeah. I want to pursue that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I have to have some shitty ass job just to make rent so that I could pursue that thing, I'm going to do that.
And it's been so nice to not have to have a shitty ass job and only do, it's been awesome. And I recognize my privilege in this situation of being covered, you know, with the unemployment, being able to do this. Like I recognize that like a lot of people have not had in such an easy time lately, but I mean, I'm thankful that I've been able to do it. I'm thankful that we've been able to do it.
Yeah.
You're using the opportunity effectively.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're definitely not twiddling our thumbs.
With mm-hmm. gratitude, it sounds
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And I think another area where Ben and I sort of align is kind of like you were saying, just that, you know, weird schedule, taking on odd jobs, doing what you have to do, you know, obviously sacrificing, like, maybe on the paycheck end to just mm-hmm. pursue music because you love it, to make time for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we really line up in that way. And so it's been fun, like not with the whole COVID situation that's been fun, but to just like you're saying, Ben, sort of clear out some of the BS a little bit and just really be able to see, you know, if we go in and fully focus on this and we do have all the time in the world, essentially what can come out of that. And so, yeah, it's been kind of neat, I guess, in that way. It's kind of how we've spun it positively to keep our minds
active.
You
may not think of it right now, or think it right now, but this like little story of how you guys chose to spend your, you know, your quarantine or this mm-hmm. COVID time, it's going to help people to hear it.
Yeah.
Who are listening to this. Good. Like, it's true. You got to put that in perspective. But that's what I mean. Your reality is like, well, this is my life, man. This is normal to me.
Right.
To other people, like breaking through that commitment is probably tough.
Yeah.
There's a part of, now, can you, you could say yes or no to this. Is there a part of your personalities where like, fuck 9-to-5 jobs?
Yep.
Like,
yeah. No, I don't think I've like ever sustained a 9-to-5 job. I went to college. Mm-hmm. I have my teaching degree, actually. And like I did the sub teaching thing for a while, which is like technically a 9-to-5, I guess, or an 8-to-4
or something. Yeah.
And it was great, but it's like I had the freedom to like take days off and mm-hmm. like still, you know, do the music thing. But I think having just an 8-to-5 every single day, I actually can't fathom myself in that position. I think I would just wither away. And that's not to sound like a baby, but it's like, I think when you are exercising your creative or the creativeness within you, it's like that already takes so much out of you to just get to the place where you're doing that on a regular basis that it's almost a disservice to try to then shove a job, you know, if you have the opportunity to just hustle at something else, to shove 40 hours of something else into your life can sort of suck the life out of you a little bit. So I'm kind of fuck the 9-to-5 just for that reason. I know that different people have different circumstances. And I think it just depends on what you want out of music. You know, I know a lot of people, they have 8-to-5s or 9-to-5s like in the Midwest where I'm from, and they play music on the weekends and they love it. And it's like, if that fulfills you, that's awesome.
Respect.
Yeah. Like
truly.
Total respect for that. If you're happy doing that, do it. I think for both of us, like we want kind of that next step with music. We want to, you know, we'd rather, like I said, sort of take the sacrifice now to be able to pursue it more full time more full time as our careers go on. And so I think just not having that 9-to-5 is really key.
Yeah. And also, yeah. Like I'm not feeling it, you know, never been. I feel like I have a lot of Peter Gibbons in me from Office Space, and I feel like Jess does too. Except the thing is, Peter Gibbons wants to sit on his ass and do nothing all day. I don't want to sit on my ass and do nothing all day. I want to fucking work all day, but I want to work on this all day.
This stuff. Yes.
This is what, and we're both like, we're both like total studio heads. Like my favorite place to be in the entire world is in the recording studio recording music that I wrote, you know, and that she, I know Jess is the same way too. It's just like, we can just do that all day if we could.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think that like we were ever able to do it like with jobs and like other responsibilities mm-hmm. and things like that. Just like now in the last month or so when like, you know, quarantine's been sort of letting up a little bit and things are opening back up. And it's like, we have so much more to do now than we did four mm-hmm. months ago. And it's like, but we still don't have the jobs. And it's like, it's been harder to find the time to record the music. It's like, how are we ever finding the time back when we had jobs and family visitations just, you know, God knows what, all kinds of responsibilities that life throws at you. It's like, how are we ever able to do that? And it's like, you know, but we did because we love it, obviously. Yeah. But
well, when you were saying, I don't want to sound like a baby about it. My first thought to that, though, is I'm going to challenge that thought because musicians are fucking hard on themselves.
It's true.
Because we listen to the outside world who don't get it. They don't understand what it has to... It's like if you're horny, you want to have sex, right? So when you have a passion for creativity and music, it's like you got this throbbing energy between your legs and you need to rub it out a little bit. No, you have to pursue it. You have to fucking do it. You just... Mm-hmm. It's an itch, right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing that we got to remind ourselves. Did Miles Davis have a day job?
Right.
Not that we're Miles Davis.
No.
But Jimi Hendrix, did he have a day job?
Yeah.
Right.
No. You know what I'm saying? No. Like these motherfuckers who we look up to did not have day jobs. They weren't expected to.
Yeah.
Why are we? Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know? Hey, did you choose to live in a place that not like you said, I'm going to live here in Bloomfield or wherever you guys live. I'm going to live here because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Or did you choose for it to get more expensive every year for the last 15 years in terms of paying rent and shit like that? No, none of us chose that. It just kind of happened around us.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Jess kind of did choose it, funny enough, because she moved here from Omaha fairly recently.
I did choose it. But no, I mean, I think your point stands true. Like, I'm thinking of this story of talking with a guy that was playing shows in the 70s. And he was like, man, if we had a great show, we made, I'm just going to make up a number, $500. Mm. And he's like, you know what I make now when we have a great show? $500. And I think
45
that...
45 years later.
It's like, there's something to that. Artists in our, just in the way that, with the whole 9-to-5, with the way that this world works here in America, at least, it's like artists are sort of, I don't know. It's like, I think back to olden times when it's like, we had the musicians and they were highly respected and that's what they did. And it was okay that that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's much more different than that. And, you know, I know a lot more people have access to things to say like, I'm a musician. And, you know, maybe it's like everyone's a musician now. And there's something to that as well.
Yes.
But I do think what you're saying is right. When you have that, just that feeling in you, that creativity in you, that songwriting, that instrument playing, whatever it may be, you can't, at least for me, can't deny that. And I think that it is easy to be hard on yourself. It is easy to just soak in everyone else going, but that doesn't really make sense. Or I don't live my life like that. So why should you get to live your life like that? And it's like, I think you're right. You just have to sort of stand true to those feelings that you have inside. You have to say, nope, I know that this is something that I feel called to like bring out of myself. I mean, we joke about like putting out music is like having a child. It's like the labor pains of like this project. And it's like, you're feeling it. And you're like, oh my God, I just want to have this baby. I just want to get it out. And it's kind of funny in that way, but you're right. It is like that immense feeling of like putting something out that's within and translating it to other people in that way. And so, yeah, I think we got to be less hard on ourselves in that way.
I think I'm going to make a connection to what you said before. Well, first, you're a teacher, and that's cool to hear. I didn't know that. That's, well, you know, fellow teacher.
High five from across the room.
That's really cool. And I also liked how you said before when we were talking about facilitating, you know, some sort of collective to help young or up-and-coming artists navigate, right?
Yeah.
This is part of it, this like conversation, believe it or not, which is being able to tell somebody at an early age of creating, which could be in their teenage years, right? That, hey, don't fucking listen to your parent. If your parents tell you, hey, you're not going to make money doing that, or your family members or your friends, even teachers, even, don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Don't fucking listen to them at all. Because guess what? They don't know what that feeling is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that itch. And they're not going to scratch it for you. So tell them to fuck off and do your own thing. But obviously, giving them information that actually will help them.
Right.
I mean, you have to, like, obviously, look, everybody's got to figure out them for themselves, mm-hmm. of course. But being able to highlight that and make it very clear,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, if you're going to do this, here's the expectation. And telling people the expectation is you're going to have people, like, projecting their own anxiety about the thought of themselves pursuing music.
Right, mm. right. They're putting themselves in that position. I remember early on in my career, like, I was really thankful because, you know, coming from the Midwest where it's just, especially in a place like that, it's not as popular to be, let's say, pursuing this type of a thing. Not that it isn't happening there. There's definitely, like, music scenes. But to have somebody come in and say, hey, I know everyone's saying, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And just telling me, like, what you said. Don't listen to them. Don't let that soak in. Like, realize it's there, but, like, keep doing you was really important. And I remember that. That was a defining moment of, oh, yeah, I don't have to, like, take this as truth. I can know my own truth and find that. And I think having that early on is really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's your, and that's the other thing, it's your life. It's kind of like, I'm the one who's going to live it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what the fuck do you care?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you don't want me to play guitar, you want me to buckle down and learn fucking trigonometry? Well, guess what? I don't know what fraction of a percent people end up being NASA engineers, but it's like, sorry to tell you, it's not you, it's not me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you want to have a fulfilling life, if you want to settle down and have kids and get married, then do that.
Do it.
Yeah.
But if you want to just, like, live your life and be fulfilled, it's like you got to pursue your passion. You have to, like, incorporate your passions and your loves into your life, or otherwise you're going to be fucking miserable. Whether or not you're pursuing it as a career, it's just like you have to let it happen, or otherwise you will die inside and then you project it, like you were saying, on other mm-hmm. people. Hey, yeah, you shouldn't. Hey, little
Johnny,
little Timmy. Johnny, Timmy, oh, Billy. Yeah. You know, it's always it's got to end in Y. The fictional boy or girl their last name has to end in Y. Guess what? I failed, so don't bother.
Yeah,
Come on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Right. Yeah. This right here. What we're talking about is very powerful. Mm. I'm glad we're recording it.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about it.
I really think it is super powerful. Like, especially, I mean, like I said on...
So powerful, it makes me have to pee. Do you have a bathroom down here?
Yeah, if you go out and make a left, there's a bathroom.
Okay, cool, I'll be right back. You guys can just keep going.
Yeah,
just,
all right.
I'll be right back.
Cue the Bossa Nova music.
Yeah.
Let's keep talking, yes. Yeah, I mean, I hope that what you guys are talking about with during COVID, I do hope that you're not the only ones, like, kind of... You know what? Like, let me throw up my DAW here, you know, and let me just try to record myself, you know, even at the very basic, like, let me just see if I can get my guitar into my computer, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's been, like, this immense opportunity that's opened up of maybe, you know, I think about even one of Ben's roommates having that extra time to just, like, record these crazy, like, I don't even know what to call them. They're, like, on... I think something like a Logic or a Pro Tools or GarageBand, but it's like music meets like talking, and it's just this like bizarre stuff. This is going to come across so weird, but like him having the time just experiment with that, like recording his voice over like this crazy music soundtrack stuff. It's like, that's so awesome. I hope other people out there are finding their little outputs of creativity. Like, let me see if I can do this or experiment with this or try this thing out that I've wanted to do for years.
Absolutely.
And just having the time and the space and all of that to sort of experiment.
I think that's a good exercise of your freedom.
Yeah.
I mean, like, truly, we're American and we take pride in our freedom,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, I mean, this is a way of exercising that for sure. It's yours, too.
Yeah.
Nobody could say it's bad. I like to say, like, there's no such thing as bad music, because even if one person likes the song or the album, you know, it's still good to somebody, you know what I mean? So, and it's yours.
Absolutely.
And that could be to anything like you were talking about. It doesn't even have to be music. It could be, you know, fucking around in some sort of graphic design thing. Mm. That's the shit that I don't know anything about. Or animation or something like that. I have students actually who do animation. It's like,
it's crazy.
You don't even know that they do it.
Yeah.
And then they explain it to you like, wait, what?
So what are you doing over there?
I can't comprehend what they're doing. And they spend like every week doing those lessons. That's it. But that's the future. We're content creation, right? So, the closer to yourself you can make that content, like authentic, the better it's going to be. But you got to spend time with it. You can't, you know, you got to filter out all those voices.
Yeah.
All those, you know.
It's interesting that you're saying that, to just bring it back to the Sun Cycles thing really quick.
And, yes, please.
You know, I was working, like I said, with some people when I was out in Los Angeles, and I sort of decided to like cut ties with a lot of the people that I was working with. And so like the particular EP that I just put out, Imaginary, like it was kind of the first musical thing where I just said, I want this to be my own. And I really want to find my voice and sort of like shave off some of those outside voices that I've been listening to, which all of those people were necessary to some degree, whether good, bad, otherwise. Like it helped me to grow sort of into this artist that I feel confident in being now. It's like, okay, I've found my voice, I've gone through that, I've sort of, you know, learned how to get some tougher skin, if you will, so I can come in as my own. I can like create something new and fresh. And yeah, I think that it's just important for every artist to sort of walk that journey. And I think that the COVID times, if you will, has given a lot of people time to sort of find their voice, find their outlet, find their thing that makes them, if you will.
Yeah, so powerful to hear that. And it could be anything. It could be like, oh, I like making bread. I found out that I like making bread during that. You know what I mean? It could
sourdough
be something.
Bread.
Yeah, it could be like, I'm a baker now, you know. Yeah. So
did you do much cooking during the quarantine? A lot of people were doing a lot of cooking and baking and stuff during the quarantine.
So much. Yeah. I love it.
Was it at like beginning of quarantine, or are you still going hot and heavy with the cooking?
Even before it, I was definitely always like, you know, taking on little challenges at a time. Like, you know, I never try to make this dish. Let me try it.
Yeah.
And then how about this? I'll say it like this. I don't really read recipes. I kind of like understand how cooking works, and then this I kind of know the steps, so you just look at the recipe, but you're really looking at the ingredients.
The ingredients,
to then
exactly.
Just do your thing, you know, with it.
Yeah,
I'm exactly that.
Yeah, that sounds like Ben. Yeah. Ben's an amazing cook. I just
are you
plug that in there? You guys should cook together.
Yeah,
okay, I would love.
He's very very good.
I would love to.
You know, what we should do. We should do a nice potluck dinner or something. Would be so sick.
Oh my God. Music, actually, food, laughter.
Oh, here's an idea. So, you know, we do our annual Halloween blowout, obviously.
Yeah, man. It's only going to be like 4 people 6 feet apart, right?
We're going to have to modify it. We're going to have to modify it.
Everyone's
going to
be in their own room.
That's right. Zooming it.
It's a big house, so, you know, it should be all right. But yeah, we're going to modify it, but I think we're going to do it. We're going to have a little thing. Maybe we could do like a Halloween potluck. That might be.
That'd be just, fucking
I'm just thinking,
awesome.
Yeah. I just thought of that right now. That might be good. You know, because it's going to be so much less people than usual, and that'd be a, kind of a fun way to. Do. Oh, yeah. So last year, we had a loose theme of the mafia, the Italian mob.
That's right.
You know?
I remember that. Yes.
So it's sort of like, you know, if you don't know what to be, if you don't have a costume, if you don't feel like putting in any effort, just, you know, dress like you're in the mob. I mean, I think that worked. It was funny. It worked out because it was just like, it was a mob.
I didn't get the memo.
I'm sorry. It was a mob of people, you know, it worked.
A mob that was a mob.
I think
a mob that was a mob.
Yeah, a mob within a mob.
Within.
I guess.
So I think this year the theme is going to be boy bands, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, late 90s, early 2000s. Like, you know, just dress like
Ben,
J.C. Chazé.
Do I have to get frosted tips?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
You can be Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC.
What if I got frosted tips, but only at the tips of my beard?
I mean, here's what you should do. Soul patch.
I was going to say soul patch.
Soul patch.
I can see it right now.
Right.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Soul patch. Break out some of those bootleg jeans that I know you have buried somewhere in the back of the closet.
That you never got rid of.
Yeah. Or also, I mean, if you want to borrow some pants. I have a lot of clothes. That's another thing that me and Jess have in common. We are addicted to buying and holding on to clothes.
Fashion sense, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
But our issue is that we...
No, it's okay.
Sorry, this is going to sidetrack even more.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Our issue is that we both enjoy like weird collector's items with clothing. It's like, wow, this is like a one-of-a-kind leather vintage jacket.
Yeah.
But
I have
it's
to
like
have it.
you wear it one time.
Oh.
And then it just takes up space in your closet.
Yeah,
but it's
gotcha.
Like, I can't get rid of it. I never wear this.
Gotcha.
So here it is for forever.
And I think it's,
yeah.
I think that's, it's still like part of your personality. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, it still true. Makes you you, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like wearing it is, okay, I'm in me. Okay, mm-hmm. This is my element. Cool. And then, you know, when it's sitting in your closet, that's just something you have to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We deal with a lot of items that just
a lot of items sit in the closet. But, you know, I think as a person or people who do things like music videos and photo shoots, it's a lot easier to rationalize or justify hanging on to that one thing that you never wear but you love. Because it's like, well, because for like a quote-unquote normal person, it's like, okay, I haven't worn this in 2 years. Donate it. But for us, it's like, well, you know, for show, when those happen again, or music video, photo shoot, it's like it's worth holding on to that one thing. So it's harder to get rid of.
I think you guys in your group, in your network, are all cooking so much. And there's like a steam building of energy that when it is time to do shows and tour, I'm gonna be on the lookout for you guys to see what that's gonna turn into, because I'm sure you're hungry for it.
Yeah,
to be absolutely. In front of a crowd,
absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah, you know,
despite what I said earlier about not like sorely missing performances or whatever, it's like, trust me, I want to get back out there. I miss it.
I know. I mean, I haven't. Since January, I think is the last time I performed.
Yeah,
and
well,
same, you know,
I was like,
I almost forgot what it felt like.
Recording process right before COVID hit, so already taken off time to like say, I'm just going to go in and focus on music, like in the studio sense. So I think the last tour and set of actual shows that I played were October.
Oh, wow.
And I was taking the winter off because I was moving from the Midwest out east. I was like, you know, I'll just take some time off. I'll work on stuff in the studio. Well, lo and behold, now it's become very, very long since the last show that I've played. So I'm feeling it now. I didn't think I would maybe as much because kind of like you're saying sometimes it's like
we're staying busy and creative.
Being in front of a crowd, getting to share what you're doing musically.
Yeah.
That's one of the ultimate feelings.
Yep. So. Man, especially if it translates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, I think spending time, it's still good because you're spending time so with your own material and like developing that avatar, if you want to call it, you know, of what your music is, the character, the personality to it, that when you do share it, it's going to, I think it's going to translate. You're probably going to be so hungry right before it. I mean, like to just, to get some new fans, you know, and to like, that's exciting.
Ready to rock. You know, Man Dancing shot a music video a couple weeks ago that involved a live performance segment. Or actually, the video is actually primarily a live, not live performance, but a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take one, I was rocking out, going hard, you know, as hard as I would go.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, fuck, I'm done, you know.
Oh, really?
I mean, I wasn't actually done, but I was like, I was done.
Physically,
sore. I was already so tired, so sore.
Oh wow!
And after take one, and of course we had to do it 6 or 7 more times. And I was just like, oh my god, like how did we ever do this?
Conditioning.
Yeah.
And it's not like we've just been stagnant this whole time. Like, you know, during peak quarantine, me and Jess were walking 3-4 miles every single day. You know, making sure we get out and exercise every single day. So it's not like I've just been like sitting on my ass. You know, but
I think it's adrenaline.
Adrenaline and also exercising those particular muscles too.
Yeah.
I like, you know, thrashing to and fro and what have you. You know, but the video looks awesome. I'll show you that later too.
Yeah, I'd love to see.
So proud of both of the videos that we've done. And also shout out to the record label too. Take This to Heart Records that Man Dancing is on. Like they've just been nothing but pals and really easy to work with and good friends. And they really like they actually genuinely care about us and the other bands on the label. And, you know, it's like, believe it or not, like they're in it for the right reasons. It's awesome. I can't wait for this record to come out. It's going to be so good.
That gets me excited. Think about the independent industry. And that's an example of that, you know, where they're like, yeah, we don't really, you know, money's not first. Like you got to have a relationship with these people and these bands and, I mean, we're not going to just milk these people
right.
For a hit, you know.
Because as of right now, there's nothing to milk, as of right now. But soon.
That we know of.
Yeah. No, that's true. I did get the blood test recently, so we'll, pending the results of that, there may be milk.
That's all we can say.
That's all we can say about that.
There may be milk.
I want to. Is it cool if we, Jess, if we listen to one of these songs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which one do you recommend?
You know, let's go Laugh Until We Die. Yeah, let's do Laugh Until We Die.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, but I hope you can hear this. If we don't hear it, I'll edit it.
Okay.
I don't want to grieve this any longer. Trapped in the shadows of my sin. Staring at the ceiling. Wanna feel the feeling. Breaking, crashing, coming down. On a Ferris wheel we turn, burning out into the ground. On a roller coaster ride, leaving everyone behind. And we left to stay alive. And we left until we die. Yeah, we left to stay alive. And we left until we die. Shake me.
That's just a little preview, guys. You guys got to go check this out. I'm going to link it all in the description of this episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was fucking dope.
Thank you so much.
So I'll tell you what I like about it. I always love when the relationship between the kick and the snare, or the kick and the backbeat, when it does something that I didn't even expect.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
So you do a lot of like it's like. I mean, yeah. I fucking love that, you know.
Yeah.
Little things like that I really love.
Yeah.
Drums come in the chorus, but all those other sounds, there's like brass in there.
Yeah,
right?
There's like weird brass noises. And, you know, the thing you were talking about, like some of that inspiration comes from, and I'm not a drummer. Actually, my mom is a drummer, believe it or not. But I know nothing about drums. But I was introduced to this concept of like the box. So it's like, I don't know if this is right or not. The drummers out there are like, shut up. Like like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So like the accent moves between those four beats. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
You're dead on.
So it's like with the drums, and credit to Joel to really like bring this to life. Cause like I make these crappy little drum, you know, things on GarageBand. But yeah, some of that like weird, like moving the accent around, like at times where it's unexpected. Is true with a lot of this music. And I didn't even really realize it until he said it right there. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's sort of like some of the box, like making its way into the music a little bit.
You're dead on with that. I mean, that's truly how drummers, I mean, look, drummers meaning how we think about rhythm in our
right,
mind
right.
without our limbs. That's how we think.
Yeah.
That's it. And you're on the money with that. And yeah, by choosing one of those, just understanding that concept and choosing, you know what, I'm going to accent this the offbeat here.
Yeah.
You know, in this groove, it does make it unique.
Mm-hmm. It's like dancing. Like, I love dancing. And it's like where you choose to place that accent is how the viewer is going to, like, capture the dance move that you're doing, or how your dancing partner will capture it. Mm. So to move it around, it's like that unexpected, like, oh, shit moment of, like, dancing.
Does that come through in your music video when you were dancing?
Yeah. And, like, that's sort of, like, my lyrical ballet side. I actually really like, I'm not very good at it, but, like, hip-hop dancing. Like, I watch it religiously, like, on my, you know, Instagram or whatever. But I'm just so entranced by it, that feeling I get of just, like, where the accent is placed, the weird turns and spins and hits and all that. And so I think, like, I want to try to capture that in the music, and I think that's even why the music video ended up being dancing, is it's like, oh, that just makes sense.
That's so cool.
Everything.
Do you think about when you're creating the beat, do you think about how you would, and I'll tell you why I'm asking this, because I had a drummer on recently.
Yeah.
And he said something, I've repeated it like twice already in this, because it just was it's a very smart way to approach coming up with parts. He basically said, if an artist wants me to put drums on their song, And I don't really know what they want, the first thing I say is, well, how would you dance to this?
Right.
And then he was able to, like...
That's a good idea.
He was able to kind of, like, figure out what sounds are in certain parts of the body and, like, how the beat would feel based on how they're moving to the song.
Yeah.
So do you kind of do a similar thing where, okay, well, this is what I'm feeling in my body, and I want the beat to feel like that. Is that kind
Absolutely.
Of...
Absolutely. I have, like...
That's a really fucking good idea.
Yeah.
Right? But you are already doing it.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, I think growing up playing in a lot of bands, being able to articulate what it is you want to hear is really important. So I think it comes from that. It comes from dancing as well, being able to figure out, like, how would I move to this? Okay, how's that going to be translated on the drums, let's just say. And, like, I think... maybe where my strength is I can hear it in my head. So cool. It's like I know what I want it to feel like. And I can kind of like almost sing it in a like a sing speak sort of a way to the drummer, like a boom, 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 like kind of a thing, you know, whatever it takes to get the message across.
I can't tell you how helpful that is to be able to do that. Yeah, it's very helpful.
Instead of using the wrong terminology, like play a shuffle here when it's like, but they mean a gallop, like that kind of shit. It's like, oh my God, it's infuriating.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all about the sounds and the layers of music. So I think just communicating, like, this is, you know, a drummer's going to be able, if they're good enough, they can do it. It's like they will hear it, they will know. But I think having that direction, that ability to sort of just like communicate initially, this is what it needs, just saves everyone a lot of time.
Absolutely.
Being able to communicate your ideas clearly and effectively in the rehearsal or the recording environment is like, it's everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's everything.
Yeah. Teaching. It's like you gain that skill through that as well.
Absolutely. I think everybody's got, I think everybody's a teacher.
Yeah.
At different parts of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish people would realize that.
And, true.
You know, and just approach how to communicate differently with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be a better world. that was cool. I don't want to, Well, I want to listen to more. I think people should go listen to it. I don't want to share too much on this. I think people should go listen to it. Like, stop the podcast right now. Go listen to it. All right.
Three,
go
two,
check it
one.
Out.
Go. Sun Cycles.
Yeah. The easiest way to find it, too, is suncycles.herenow.com/imaginary. I'm just kidding. If you just go to my social media pages, like Instagram, I have like a link in my bio, and it actually takes you to... any music platform that you're using. So there's Apple Music, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, Instagram, I've got it up there. If you go to my Facebook, if you're old school and you still use Facebook like me.
I'm still on MySpace.
That's incredible.
No, I'm kidding.
If you go to Facebook, any of the recent posts that I've put up there, you'll see the link as well. But or
Sun
you can just
Cycles
search
Music.
It. Yeah, Sun Cycles Music. I'm on Spotify, Apple. I don't even know what else out there. I'm like Deezer, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera.
All the networks. Please give some love. Go follow. Go check it out. Did you want to do any playing? Because you do have your guitar here, Ben.
Yeah, we can give it a shot.
If you don't, if you're like, nah, you know what? I'm cool with just talking. That's cool too.
I mean, I don't know.
It's up to you, man.
Yeah.
If you know, if you're not feeling it, we're not going to do
it. I do like having another melodic instrument, you know.
True.
Like
so I have an idea. Sort of I have a proposition we can tie everything in that perhaps with this new project that Ben and I are working on, maybe we could come back and do some kind of, you know, podcast recording of some of that music
of that
together.
Stuff. That's cool. That
be
could
fucking
be cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. But
unless you want to play.
No, I mean, I'm okay with not playing. Like if that's
it's
okay.
Totally okay. The only reason why I like having playing is because it definitely is, in terms of podcasting, is such a unique, nobody wants to mix music.
Yeah.
And do it. It's a lot of work. I'll tell you straight up, it's a lot of work for me to mix, but I love it. I do
it. Okay. I mean, let's give it a shot.
If you're not comfortable with it, that's not going, God damn it, Ben.
No.
You should feel guilty.
No, I'm not. No. It's not that I'm uncomfortable. It's just, you know, I do like you're having chilling. Like another, like a bass or something to play off of, but we could give it a shot.
It's up if you
we're
feel
not
like
live.
It. If you feel like it,
yeah,
we could do it. It's no rush.
Yeah,
no
why, big don't, deal why don't we try it for yeah. a song and
let's give it a shot. And we're not live, so it's like we could always just delete it.
That's but, right. We could delete all also, this right here.
Yeah, you could delete like the. No, I'm just kidding.
I had a question that I like to ask drummers. And
let's hear.
We could even use this as a springboard.
Let's do it
for what to do. What is your least favorite beat to play?
That's a good one. All right. My least favorite beat is to play, like, usually it's like a shuffle, like a shuffle blues type thing. Like, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, like a B.B. King kind of thing.
I'll tell you why. It's actually a cool beat.
Yeah.
Right? And there's great music that you'll find with that beat in it. However, how many guitarists have you seen on a performance, random people playing on stage, trying to play blues and just doing a not great guitar solo for like 4 or 5 minutes at a time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next song, same tempo, you're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I can't stand that. Mm. I do not want to play and provide a difficult beat, by the way. That's not an easy beat to do.
Absolutely.
Minutes at a time. I don't want to provide that for you to jerk off on your instrument for, I'm sorry to say that's what happens.
That's a great, you know? That's a great answer because I think like when people don't want to play just the normal beat, you know, I love playing the normal, just like, you know, kick, snare, like the, just the regular beat. I love the regular beat because it's like, just, you know, own it, make it your own, like throw in some ghost notes or like some syncopation or whatever. Just like, you know, just play it like you mean it. If you play that beat like you don't want to be playing it, it's not going to sound
that's
cool.
That's the thing. And I want to provide something that's going to inspire. I don't want to provide something because I'm expected to, so that somebody could stand on my shoulders and then take all the glory by doing a guitar solo that nobody really in the venue wants to hear.
Yeah.
Because how many guitar solos have we all heard?
Too many.
Mm. Right? A lot. Specifically blues, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, and hey, you know what? That's the hater side of me, but I don't care.
No, it's okay. I brought it out with the question.
But one of my favorite beats has become like, because it's challenging and, and if you get it, it really is just something simple like. I mean, just.
Yeah.
That's fucking hard.
And yeah, it's good at a slow tempo like that too.
And like consistent and have it feel danceable still, you know.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that stuff like that. Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, from not being a drummer's perspective, when a drummer is able to just come in and just play like that, it's like it's just so good, and it's simple but so difficult and so good and so on. That speaks volumes over however many notes you can play.
Yeah,
like it's just that's that right. Being in the pocket, I guess.
Being in the pocket. That's right. It's like bread and butter.
Yeah,
that's why when you get good bread and butter brought to the table at the restaurant, you got almost fill up on it because it's so good. That's what that is. It's just the bread and butter,
it's
man.
Good bread and butter.
Yo, that's me it. Like all the time. I'm just like I just only want bread and butter.
Yeah,
that's
Jessica right. Loves
I'll just
bread
take
and butter.
That
and plain rice and stuff like that.
It just
that.
Translates to everything else. I'm like, just give me the pocket. Just give me what we need. You know.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just simple basics.
Yeah.
Ben needs some sound here. Hear yourself well?
Yeah, it's okay. Can it be a little louder? I just tuned it to my phone, so I hope it's like okay.
How's that? A little better?
Yeah, it seems okay.
I can play soft.
Yeah, we can just give this a shot and.
Yeah, man. You have any ideas?
Oh, not really.
No?
If you don't mind starting.
Yeah, I'll start.
Just like I just don't feel like a guitarist ever, you know?
When
it's just like time to play the guitar. It's like, well, then, what? I don't know. I'd rather just play drums usually, you know, or just build an idea from the ground or from the ground up.
Well, how about this? Jess, do you have any beats floating in your head, or do you have like a dance move in your body that you're feeling, and can you communicate and maybe I'll replicate what you're feeling? Not to put you on the spot. Or we can just
or whatever
inspire each other.
Like a digga 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 ba bum bum ba ba. Boom, boom, ba-ba.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
That's
good.
That's very cool. So, Juan, did you improvise that?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the true hero of the day over here.
No, I mean, that's impressive because I can't tell you, like, I know Ben and I can, we can go up on, we were talking this prior to recording. We can go up on a stage with no material.
Yeah.
And just improvise and feel confident doing so. And probably make it sound good, right? When it comes to vocals,
it's hard.
Yeah.
Melody,
lyrics,
how? Just pulling that shit out of thin air.
How do you do that?
It's crazy, especially words.
How do you do that? Seriously, that's impressive.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just like with an instrument. I think the feeling of it is the most important part. It's like how you emote.
I'm confident that if we had a good bass player or a good guitarist and I could play bass, we could get up and improvise a half an hour of music and it would be solid.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think also, like, if you have, you know, any experience just doing it, too, when you unlock that, like, oh, yeah, I can just do this, you unlock it, and it's like, yeah, it just opens a whole new world of things that you can do.
Maybe it's a fear thing, because with Ben, like, when I started playing with Ben, like, you're not a jazz guy, you're not a jazz musician, so those improvisation skills... Usually when you were saying, oh, I play jazz, I know where your improvisation skills come from.
Right,
or it kind of alludes that, oh, he has them, right? But we just started playing like this rock band stuff. But then we would jam in between songs or something like that in rehearsal. And then I was like, this motherfucker can like just keep going, improvise. And you can even pick up a different instrument and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like for listeners, not a lot of people could do that with nothing to jump off of.
Right.
You know? And like... Anyway, that's something that it's funny. You were able to do that over a lot of other musicians who did play a little bit of jazz or were classically trained or whatever the fuck, who couldn't do that at all.
Yeah.
And like wouldn't and were afraid of it. Yeah. Much respect to you,
thanks,
sir.
Thanks for saying a nice thing.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm now like, wow, okay, Jess can improvise. So like,
yeah, she just made that shit up.
I'm excited by that. You know, this is a cool thing. It would be like cool, like, what if we said, hey, let's take 2 hours and let's, whoever plays whatever instrument, it'd probably be better to put me on drums because I suck at other things. But
You could play drums. Yeah.
But it'd be cool, like, what would come out, you know, out of that, like, you know, something like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
That was fucking cool.
If we just like, we're like, hey, you know what? Let's write and record a song from scratch this afternoon.
Yeah. That would be cool.
You know?
In truth, like, that's kind of, again, not to keep bringing up Los Angeles, but that's kind of the way people do it. It's like you go into the studio and you just like, you just go at it. And like 3 hours later, you have a song. It's like crazy. But I also think, like, just jumping back, like, I'm thinking about to jamming in the basement of my parents' house with my two sisters. And we had like a drum set, some, you know, acoustic guitars, and like an old Clavinova from like the late 80s, early 90s. Like,
wow.
Keyboard there, which I still have written so much of my music off of that keyboard. But it was like kind of like what you're saying. Like somebody would start on drums, somebody would play guitar, someone was on the keyboard. We were all singing, or one person was singing. And then it would just be like, after a while, all right, rotate and let's keep going and let's just see what happens. And eventually you strike something.
How old did this start? How old were you? You know,
I mean, I think, you know, my sisters and I grew up like singing together from a really, really young age. Like even in old home videos, we're like, you know, 5 years old, all of us are singing together. But I would say like more seriously, probably like middle school kind of onward. Yeah. But I think just having that freedom with siblings, even too, is
what was the
close friends.
What was the home life like that you had a drum kit and you had a clav,
yeah,
and you had the guitar amps and all that?
Yeah, I think my parents realized early on that we were all weirdly just sort of similar in our interests. We all really enjoyed music, and they wanted to foster that. My mom being a drummer, and, you know, she does it more for fun, but she had played more seriously early on in her life, was, I think, thought it was cool and was like, let's get, like, some little guitars from, you know, Walmart or whatever. Let's hook up the piano. She had just gotten the drum thing. I think it was just exciting. Like, this is something fun we can all do together. And then it became more serious as we started all of us kind of pursuing music in our own ways.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do your sisters still do music? Do they make any of their own music?
So my older sister, Heather, and I, we were in a band called the Hotman Sisters. Plug for that. We're on Spotify and, you know, all the other
How
sites.
How do you spell that? Hotman?
Hotman. So my last name is Hotman. So okay. It's Jessica Hotman, Heather Hotman, H-O-T-T-M-A-N. We have had to say that very clear in all shows that we've played. Hoffman? No. Yeah, Hotman Sisters. We toured for a while. We started in, gosh, probably like 2016, maybe late 2015, we were getting the idea to have the project. But 2016, just started playing locally and then ended up doing a lot of touring together and that sort of a thing.
I mean, that's like very powerful when you're raised, you're developing in that environment as a
Absolutely.
Child. Like you're really, truly, your environment does shape you. No, I mean, you breathe, your oxygen is music.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and I think having like that sister, almost telepathic thing, like we would be on stage and we would just look at each other and like, no, okay, we're going to sing this. We would just do like an acapella, like harmony, old school kind of a thing, like out of nowhere, just weird things like that, where it's like you're kind of communicating sibling wise and you've grown up together doing it. I think it also sort of brings it back to that improv side of things. Like,
yeah.
Just sort of, you know, bullshitting in the basement with your sibling, but then they're being on the stage and it's like, oh, we're still just bullshitting. We're just on a stage
That's
now.
That's right. That's right.
Like, there's something to that. And you're right. Like, the environment that you grow up in is so, it's so much more deep down within you than you realize. And as you get older, it's like you just uncover those bits and pieces.
I'm going to say it. I'm way more interested in individuals like you who just, you're able to improvise this because it's how you communicate. It's a language.
Yeah.
And you just spend a lot of time doing it, right? I'm more interested in what your music sounds like than any fucking pop star that they put up. Honestly. And yeah. Even like even, you know, there are certain rock bands that are very well known who I even doubt their ability to improvise sometimes, you know? And I'm more interested in people who constantly are speaking, forget about improvising, you're constantly speaking music, whether it's literally talking about it or making it somehow with an instrument or your mouth or, you know, whatever, singing it. That's fascinating to me. And what is this individual going to create? And what are these two individuals going to create together? Like that's going to be, and obviously I'm talking about your project together. Does it have a name?
No.
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
We're waiting for that to also happen organically.
It'll happen.
Yeah. You know, and also if it, you know, we're, you know, the shit's recorded, you know, and we're kind of like photos are done and we're looking at a release date and we still don't have a name, well, you know, we'll pick a name, you know.
Gotcha.
the name will come. But as of right now, no, there's no name. But
that's cool. But it'll definitely come. I'm excited to hear that, guys.
Thanks. We're excited.
Let's plug also Subtitles and Man Dancing.
Yeah. I mean, Subtitles also, like, we recorded a record. It's been done for like over a year. It's so funny. The record's been done for over a year. Pretty much the only reason we haven't put it out is just inner band disagreements about the cover art. And to be honest, it's really just a passion project, so it's not a big deal. You know, like we're happy with the music. It's gonna come out eventually. But we did put out like an A-side, B-side single maybe a month or two ago. So it's Morning Star. That's the one with the flower and the, yeah, that one right there. So yeah.
Subtitles on Instagram, right?
We Are Subtitles on Instagram. We Are Subtitles for, you know, Bandcamp, if you choose to listen to Bandcamp. You know, they've been doing that Bandcamp Friday thing recently, which is cool. So, you know, next time they do that, if you want to grab the record, that's tight. But for the most part, just, you know, Spotify, Apple Music will suffice.
Jess, do you have a Bandcamp?
I do not have a Bandcamp.
Okay, I was going to ask.
But I will, this is the first time it's actually been announced with Sun Cycles. I, through the small label that I've been working through, I'm going to be doing a release through them with some physical merch. So if you just stay in tune on like Instagram, Facebook, I'll be announcing it there.
Cool.
So eventually something.
The reason why, sorry to cut you off, Ben, I always want like, hey, listeners, go directly to the artist and buy it. You'll get like you'll, I usually buy the people I have on, I usually buy their material, some of their material, most recent. So, okay, so shout out to Brian and Russell, right?
Shout out to Brian and Russell, my buddies in the band Subtitles with me, two of the most swell pals you could ever ask for. And, you know, of course, Brian was in Float the Witch with me and you, Anthony.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of history there. I don't know how much music do you usually play on these podcasts? It's more of like a talk.
Whatever
thing,
I feel like doing.
Okay, cool.
It's his
podcast. I have no boss. So
yeah, that's right.
If you send me a bunch of shit and you know, like even if you're like, hey, can you play 30 seconds of this?
Right.
That actually would be helpful. Uh-huh. And that way I know how to put it, you know, I'll put it in cool places along the way. Same with, you know, so we listen to one. If you did want to add another one, totally do that.
Great.
Totally cool.
You know, speaking of, you know, being your own boss or what have you, I got to say, you're really good at this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This was great.
You're like, you're the real deal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, you're a really good interviewer and you have a lot of insightful, thoughtful things to say. And you're good at,
Appreciate that, again,
like the concise, effective communication that we were talking about before is also very important in these types of situations. I've done podcasts before where it's like people are talking over each other or it's like, or you know, you don't get to the point quick enough, kind of like me right now. So
no,
back up.
No, I I'll tell you guys, like, this is a good episode.
Thanks.
Like, I'm looking for, I know it's good. And when I edit it, I'm like, ooh, I know it's going to be very good, especially with the music in. But you know, we're having a good conversation and you guys are interesting people. And I just wish that musicians would realize like, hey, like my music sometimes doesn't translate to who I am. And, you know, go on a podcast, you know, like talk about what you know about music, your perspective on it. It might be unique. And clearly the two of you and then together, obviously, I think it's fucking awesome.
Nice.
This is a great episode.
Yeah.
Cool.
Real fast. Let's plug Man Dancing.
Hell yeah.
So Instagram.com/Man Dancing, literally how it's spelled.
Man Dancing is always one word. Instagram, Twitter are probably our primary. Right now, I mean, we've been laying a little bit low on social media lately just because we're like kind of gearing up for this release that we got coming up. Take This to Heart Records, the label. Yeah.
I still hear the words speak open to me. Hurry on. Dead than done. And I still read that note that you wrote for me the day you left. And I tried to understand, I tried my best, my best.
Shout out to them.
That's on Instagram too. This to Heart Records.
Yeah. Also on Twitter as well. I feel like Instagram and Twitter are like the main ones nowadays. Like I don't even really use Facebook personally or for the band anymore. I mean, like I maintain some presence, but really it's like Instagram and Twitter. It's what I use. But yeah, Man Dancing, new record coming out very soon. I can't say when, but very soon.
Is that it right there?
That is the EP that we put out in 2018.
Gotcha. Okay.
We actually haven't formally announced the new record yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's
ooh,
okay.
Surprise.
Sort of. I mean, like, the you know, the label has teased it and we've mentioned it. Like, the, I think the caption on those posts there referenced the fact that we're working on a new record.
That was a funny video.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
That, you guys sang In Sync, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just in unison. It says working on harmonies, but they're not harmonies. And then it's also featuring our boy James from Brother Moses in the back there, who is an awesome band that's from New York City by way of Arkansas, or from Arkansas by way of New York City. That's what we're going to Arkansas for next week.
Oh, is that what you're...
Yeah, it's for his wedding.
Oh, sweet.
Another thing about James and his wedding, his wife-to-be, Alana, was at the So Far Sounds show in Kansas City.
Mm. I love So Far Sounds, by the way.
That's where me and Jess met.
That's where you met. That's
She, you know, obviously was, you know, she's more local to the Kansas City area. We were on our way back from South by Run.
Come back from Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. She had just come back from Los Angeles. Yeah. We did this So Far gig at like a apartment. It was like a nice, like sort of art deco apartment lobby in Kansas City. So our friend Alana was in attendance that night. So she was sort of there to witness the special union of me and Jessica meeting for the first time,
which is so weird. Cause you know, I'm not from Kansas City. Ben's not from Kansas City. We just happened to meet playing a show.
She was living in Kansas City at the time. So there's
Alana was.
Alana was living in Kansas City at the time.
That was the connection there.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So we're heading to Arkansas next week for her wedding.
And, very cool. Yeah. Who are the members, by the way? It's Steve, it's you, Ben, and then Tom.
Tom's the drummer, and then Adrian is the bass player. And so that's been the group for a couple years now. And then recently we had our friend James, we called James. He joined us on second electric guitar.
Nice.
And he does appear on the new record. He is on the new record.
Nice.
And he's in all the new photos and the new videos, so it's official.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming in person to do this. Could totally done it over Zoom, but this is better. So much better.
We were looking forward to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for having us. This was great.
Of course.
Thank you.
Anytime, you're welcome back for sure. And please, everybody, give them some love. We got We Are Subtitles on Instagram. Man Dancing, and then we have Sun Cycles Music. Check out the current release. When did it come out? This past week or last week, right?
This last Friday, September 4th. It's called Imaginary. So definitely go check it out.
Fresh music. Go check it out right now.
So fresh.
Hot.
So
hot fresh. And ready now.
3, 2, 1.
You gotta be
check it
fresh.
All
right.
You gotta be fresh.
Yeah. Thank you everybody for listening. Badum Biz to you.